You are listening to Jai Long, and this is Make Your Break. Have you ever had an idea for a big project, but you didn't know how to get it off the ground? And I'm talking about like making an app or a second product business or a second service business or whatever it is. Maybe it's an exhibition. I think so often we have these big grand ideas, but we don't really know what the first step actually is towards one of these ideas. And if you're like me, you've probably had 10 app ideas and 10 website ideas and everything else. So today I wanted to talk to Jimmy Lick. He is the founder, well, co-founder of a platform called Second Society. When I say co-founder, he did tell me that his wife helped him a lot. So that's what I mean by co-founder. So shout out to her. They both have created this amazing platform where photographers and videographers can find second shooters on demand. And it's just a bit of a community space where you can go on there and there's just tons of things going on. So I'm really excited to talk to him. He kicked this off a few years ago. And today, instead of talking about the platform itself, I actually wanted to get in behind the platform and what makes someone like Jimmy want to go ahead and sell his house to go all in and create an app with his wife. What does that look like? What's the ups? What's the downs? What's the first step, especially? I want to know what that first step is. So if you're anything like me and you're interested in the behind the scenes making of something like this, today is going to be for you. If you're ready to make your break, then absolutely. Before we get into today's episode as well, I want to announce something that I've been working on for a little while. I have a new podcast coming out in collaboration with my friend, Kara Mia. She is an amazing wedding photographer, conceptual photographer. She's definitely an educator. She's doing so many amazing things. I'm kind of really butchering this intro. Sorry about that. But she does amazing things and I'm actually creating a course with her. And before the course is ready and everything, we actually jumped into the studio together and we recorded a few podcast episodes. So we have a limited time series podcast dropping actually this week as of you listening to this. And it might not be available straight away, but later on this week. And it's called Metamorphosis. So if you do want to look for that, I'm going to have a link in the show notes. But we got some amazing speakers on there, like guest speakers, including India Earl and Ryan Muirhead, and such a good lineup of people. So if you're interested in us talking about creativity, then I want you to get over there. So I just want to let you know, these last few years, like I am such a creative. I love business, of course, because I'm good at it. But deep down, like I am a creative and a lot of people don't see this side of me because for the last like 5 years, I've just been talking about business and I really niched myself there. But to be honest, like I love my creativity and, you know, making art and talking about that side of myself and just that side of everything. So my brain is like, it's very creative and very analytical. And I think with Make Your Break, I've really brought both, but I definitely go analytical a lot of the times because I know a lot of creatives, sometimes they just need that little bit of analytical insight so they can make some good decisions. So if you're interested in hearing me talk about creativity, imposter syndrome, burnouts, the highs and the lows and like, you know, creating art that you love and all of that type of stuff, then I recommend you head over to Metamorphosis, the podcast, and I think you're going to get a lot from it. I'm really excited to dive into a whole new side of myself and bring this to you. And to be honest, I think you're really going to like this new show. If that sounds interesting, make sure you do subscribe this week. Other than that, let's get into today's interview. Hey, I've got Jimmy here from Second Society. Today we're going to dive in and we're going to talk a lot about a platform that Jimmy created back in 2020. So it's been 4 and a bit years on now, and I really want to dive into this and talk to a founder because often we have an idea and we think maybe it could just happen. We could just make something happen and we don't know what actually goes behind the scenes to actually launch something that you have in your head. Often I get ideas thrown at me in my DMs of like apps that I could create and things I could do. And I don't know if people know how much work goes into it. So today we've got Jimmy to tell us how he had made his break. So how are you?
I'm doing amazing, man. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. Such an honor.
Yeah, of course. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me a little bit about your platform.
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Jimmy Lick. I'm here in San Diego, California. I've been filming weddings now for almost 10 years. Met my wife in the industry as well. She started out as my second shooter, which is really cool because we created a whole platform based on second shooting. And we've been filming weddings together for about 6 or so years now. We're still 100% in the industry, still film full time. And then, yeah, in 2020, since COVID, we were in a desperate need of finding a second shooter for a destination wedding and had this idea. Well, first of all, try to find a second shooter, and it was just impossible to find someone that was up to our quality standard for San Jose, California, which is about 8 hours north, and could not find someone. So it took 3 months, kept looking, and I ended up flying out some buddies from Charlotte, North Carolina, from Texas, and from San Diego to film this huge wedding. And I said, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a platform out there where all of the people who are doing what we're doing, which is boutique wedding filmmaking and, you know, do 15 to 20 weddings a year, that would be down to help us out if we paid them really well. And if we were all on a platform together and just had our availability at our fingertips, it'd be so much easier. So that's where we came up with the idea for Second Society.
So really, you were sitting there with a problem and you weren't sure why this problem was solved yet in the world. And
yeah.
And you thought, well, someone needs to solve this problem. And it kind of went from there. Is that right?
Pretty much. Yeah, that's exactly it. It was, you know, I did as much research as I possibly could. And to my knowledge, to this day, there's nothing out there that is like this for filmmakers. And I wanted it specifically for the wedding industry because there's a couple of different platforms out there. Upwork is one of them, kind of this like recruiting agency, you might call it, but like you get on there and you really can't find somebody who is niche in your market or has your same style for weddings. And I think, you know, as wedding videographers, it's something that we constantly need. We're always in search of a second shooter for, you know, 30, 40 times a year. And so that was one thing we didn't find, was a platform that was specifically for weddings.
Did you do anything prior to this in terms of like any kind of tech startups? Did you have any knowledge, any digital marketing knowledge? Tell me sort of about the background. Yeah.
Not at all, man. Not at all. My background is completely behind the camera. Loved filmmaking. The reason why I got into it was actually, I went to school for music and got my bachelor's in music and was a huge jazz piano player. And that's what I thought my career would be based off of, was some type of playing music full time or being in the recording studio, which I love doing. I love writing songs. And yeah, like pretty much the first year in college, I realized that it wasn't the gig for me and that you'd spend your whole life like serving coffee at a recording studio only at the chance that you might get hired. And so I found film and, you know, was filming just extreme sports stuff with my buddies and got into film that way through college, got my master's degree in filmmaking. And then shortly after that, moved out to San Diego and kind of fell into the wedding industry and just loved it. I was working at a church prior to that full time. And that's kind of how I got my inquiries initially. And shortly after that, it was like, you know, I could shoot 2 weddings a month and basically make more than I was at the church. And so just dove in full time.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. So it's been a steep learning curve.
Oh, huge, huge. I mean, like it literally feels like I'm still starting today. Like as far as digital marketing goes, like we don't know any of that or have any background, especially like with our wedding business. It's been a lot of like referrals and coordinators and all that stuff. It's like to us, I really lean into network is your net worth type of mentality, where it's just like the more people I meet and the more people that I serve, they're able to, you know, come back and help me out and get us leads. And so we've been totally off as far as like marketing goes and ads. So I haven't done that.
That's really cool. Take me back to just before you launched it. You had a conversation. Is it your wife, like or now wife? Were you guys married back then?
We were married then. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you guys just had a conversation and how did that sort of unravel? Tell me like, how did it feel? Or like, you know, was it like, yeah, we could 100% do this? Or was it sort of like an idea? And then you kind of got to a point where like, actually we could do this.
Yeah, it's really fun. So we're at the point with our business to where we really wanted a cabin in the mountains, like getting away and being able to just get out of the grind, get out of the concrete jungle of, you know, city life And so we actually bought a condo in the mountains here called Big Bear. And
I've been to Big Bear.
Have you?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So one of my first weddings I ever shot was in Big Bear, funny enough.
So cool. Yeah. So we bought a condo right on the slopes. I'm a huge snowboarder. And so we bought it. We closed on the house, I think a day before Christmas, and stayed up there for almost a month, like just remodeling it and being up there. And it was epic. And then not within 6 months later, we had that problem with this particular wedding. And yeah, we kind of came up with that idea and we're like, this has to be a thing. Like, why don't we do it? And so we sold our house and—
So that's how you funded it?
Yeah, this is how we funded it. So we ended up selling that condo. And honestly, it was something like we took to prayer and just being like, hey, let's sell this house for now. Let's build this platform. And hopefully in a couple of years from now, we'll be able to buy another condo and be able to do it all over again. And
was that scary? Like going all in like that?
Yeah, I think it's scary, but it's also like, we're the type of people that are like, nobody else is doing it. Let's do it. And so that's kind of the fun part. It's like just kind of diving into the unknown, especially building something and being able to be creative with it. We had such a vision for what it could be. And I knew that there was enough videographers in the United States alone, but outside of that, even, you know, Canada, the world, global, you know? And so I knew there was a ton of people out there that were doing the same thing that we were doing. And we just don't know them yet. We haven't been able to meet them. So how cool would it be to have a platform where we can all be?
So you sold your dream condo. Was your wife on board from the very beginning? And was it just like a yes, let's do this. Let's go all in.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think if you ask her now, she'll probably be like, eh, it wasn't a good idea. But from the beginning, she thought it was a really good idea. Saw the vision as well. We're both super creative. And one thing I love about her is she's like super systems oriented and admin. And so she can kind of see the whole back end of things and like thrives in that situation, where I'm definitely more the forefront, the face, the creative part, branding, all that kind of stuff. And so we're just like, we work really well together as a duo of kind of like building a business.
Has it been tough at all in your relationship? Because I know you guys have been working together on this thing building.
Yeah, no, fortunately enough, we have like an incredible marriage and incredible partnership. And yeah, it's been like super stressful and there's been days where it's been hard, but as far as like our marriage outside of the business has been awesome. Yeah. And so, yeah, super grateful for that.
Yeah, that's really good. You're going to have to give everyone your secrets, I think.
Yeah, man. Well, let's go. Make it a marriage that's podcast.
Good. It's good that the reason why I sort of dive into that too is because a lot of people will hold themselves back because their partner's not in line with the vision, or they don't have the same risk tolerance, or they're not as ambitious, or whatever it is. Maybe they're more risk averse. So I would say it's pretty rare that you find two people that come together that have got the same vision, they're in line, and they also just want to like make bigger moves and sometimes riskier moves.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think it all comes down to communication. And especially when you like marry somebody, like your whole heart is for them and you want them to thrive and, you know, be happy, and you'll do whatever it takes to kind of make sure that that happens. And so I think it comes down to communication is like super key. And like really letting them know that like, hey, this is something that I really want to try. It's something that, you know, is going to make me thrive because it's something that we get to create together. And all those things, and putting out all those points on the table and just saying like, hey, is this something that you can get behind? Yeah, I can't say that that's easy for everybody, but communication was a huge key, especially when it comes to, you know, like we told everybody that we bought this condo, like, come on up. We want to invite you. We want this place to be booked out, you know, tell all your friends and family, and then we sell it. And you have to tell everybody that story, right? And be like, nah, we sold it 5 months, 6 months later. And, you know, put all this work into it just to sell it. And yeah, now we're building this app thing. And that's like what we get all the time now is like, how's that website thing going? Like, yeah, it's
done pretty
good.
It's
a global platform. You know, we're believing it's going to get bigger. So
step one, when you first had the idea, what was step one for you in your mind back then? Not like what it was the actual step one. What was your step one?
So step one was really to like ask around and say, like I reached out to 200 photographers and videographers and said, hey, this is something that we need. Is this something that you would need? And if so, would you pay for it? And so really trying to get that consensus of like, how much would you pay for it? Yeah. Like this is a huge pain point for us, but maybe it's not for you. And so, yeah, some companies, you know, have their wife second shooting with them or their best friend, or they have their little network and they say it works for them. But most of the people were kind of just in the same shoes as us, where it was like Facebook groups just didn't work. You're always getting spammed with 50 people that aren't quality enough and that match your style. And so, yeah, that's where we kind of came up with the concept and started to develop it on our own end. We have like a little bit of background as far as like graphic design, just enough to, you know, get in trouble.
Yep.
And then
just enough to make something and pretend you know what you're doing and then hand it over.
Yes. Yes. And that's kind of where we're at now.
That's kind of what I'm like as well.
Yeah. Like we got to a point to where it's like built, but it's not exactly what we want. And so, you know, trying to pass that off to other people as much as possible.
Yep. So when you're mind mapping the actual platform itself, was that hard? Was there like, wow, there's like too many features, or like, no, this is really easy. It's just going to be like this 1, 2, 3. Was it hard to sort of condense it down to like a product that you know people could use and they wouldn't get overwhelmed with?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So many back and forths between us and the developer at the time. A lot of it, you know, that's the other thing is like not having a developer or even a graphic designer at your side when you're building an app, it would be really key to have that, because a lot of things like were kind of, you know, held back because we didn't know how to build it or how to design it. And so there's a lot of back and forth with the developer being like, is this something that's even manageable to do? And so, yeah, that was definitely like a gray area and took a lot of time. And I think we invested a lot more money into the platform because we weren't able to make like quick decisions or build it right the first time.
I bet you a lot of communication didn't translate.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%. We built the platform twice. And so the initial developer.
So the first one, you actually did it offshore?
Yeah. So we did it offshore. There was a guy who has a company here in San Diego, but a lot of his work is offshore. So we basically go through him to get onboarded, but then I'm literally just talking to a whole team in India. And so for a whole year, I was on like calls at like 5:30 in the morning. And they're just wrapping up the day. And so every little change that we made would take about 48 hours to make the actual change on the platform. And so I'd say, no, do this instead. And then they go back. And if, you know, sometimes they would mess up and not even get that right. So then that took 48 hours. It come back and it's still not right. There's still like words missing or grammar spelled wrong. Yeah. And so now you're a week into production of one little problem. And it was just like, this does not work. So we quickly wrapped it up and found a developer here in Dallas that is super strong.
So did they finish, did they actually finish it? So you had a finished product basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were live.
And you were live. So you actually had customers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so
you were looking at the platform going like were people complaining or were you kind of the one complaining? Like, this is just not good enough.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It wasn't the way we wanted it to build. It felt clunky. There's things glitching kind of all the time. And at that point, like I had no idea how this was built. It could be built on sand for all I know. And like everything is in their hands and it just felt too far away from me to where, you know, if they decided to close up shop or quit or whatever it might be, my entire product sits in India somewhere on servers that I have no touch on.
Yeah. Okay. That'd be really scary. I guess like that for you must've been like the riskiest point or the riskiest part of the whole project.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time. Knowing that that was, you know, the case. And then also just burning money into development fees and not seeing the output like back to you, you know? So you invest thousands of dollars into something, you want to make sure you're getting a certain amount of return every single week. And that just like was not the case. So
that first year, is it safe to say you lost a lot of money?
Yeah, that's 100% safe.
Yeah. You lost a lot of money, like, you know, because we could see it as like, obviously you learned a lot too, because so if you did the first one and you worked with the developers and stuff, there would have been a lot of things that you learned along the way, especially communication and stuff like that, to get the idea out. And then by the time you're doing the second one, I'm guessing it would have been a lot easier and streamlined because you would have had a really good idea of what you needed to know or what you did know.
Sure. Yeah. To give you some perspective, it probably took a year and a half to build to like MVP.
Yeah.
And then with the second developer, we built the MVP all over again and then some within 4 months.
Yeah. Wow.
And so, yeah, like obviously we learned a lot along the way, and there's no way we could have replicated that first if we did go with the second developer first.
Totally.
Yeah. But I think just communication, you know, again, is really easy. And then also availability. So having the developer on our side, like in the same time zone, he's only 2 hours away from us, time zone difference that is. So like I could call him up today and fix a problem within seconds, you know?
Was there a moment that you wanted to give up after the first, like on that first 18 months when you're like sort of bringing everything together?
Yeah. All the time. There's no
like,
days that
like
go
daily.
By. Yeah. It's like a daily thing. Or at least weekly. Yeah. There's a moment in time where you're just like, is this the right thing that I want to do?
Was there the lowest moment? Tell me about the lowest moment in that first 18 months. Was there a moment where you actually like, you know what, like you're having a conversation with your wife and you're like, we should maybe hang up the boots?
Yeah, definitely. Like it was at that moment where we're like, I don't know another developer. And I feel so like with my hands tied behind my back and we're just losing like 10 grand a month, you know, yeah, on this developer. And you're just like, if we continue down this road, we will literally lose all the money that we have.
Mm. And so you had to make a call like, before you lost all your money, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will literally give all props to my wife, like Lex, who is just someone who says, okay, we have this problem, let's fix it. And so she did all the research. She researched what different platforms we could use instead. She found a developer. We, you know, interviewed different developers and, you know, found the guy that was the most expensive and realized like, hey, we can't really take another risk with somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. And so, yeah. So we found somebody who was the most expensive and just felt like he was the right fit for us. And it was awesome. Yeah. So right. Super
it's,
happy.
It's
with
interesting that you found the person that's most expensive because I feel like that always comes with experience. You know, like when people are inexperienced and they first even start out in an industry, say like yours, like a videographer, they will charge out not much because they're like, well, no one really pays much. You know, I'm out of everyone's budget. Everyone always says that to me. And they're kind of like fighting in that space. But once you start getting more experience, even with yourself, like when I first started, I would hire someone that was like the cheapest you could find on Upwork. And today I would never go there. Like I would not even go close to that. So I used to look at someone that's like $5 an hour, do some IT stuff. Now I'm like straight up like $50, $80 an hour. I'm like, that's where we want to be because I don't want the stress and I want a good product and I want good communication, all that kind of stuff. So it's interesting after your first experience of like offshore in India, working with a team, and I'm guessing like they wouldn't have been that expensive compared to probably somebody in San Diego or wherever. And then from there you're like, okay, so the thing that I prioritize the most now is a good product over trying to save that little bit of money.
Yeah. I think like this works across the board in life, right? Like you're either paying upfront or you're paying in the back end.
Yeah.
And so
either way, you're paying the price.
You're paying the price. That's 100% true. And it's like, if you get a cheap shooter, they're not going to give you enough footage to make a good wedding. Right. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to do a lot of like, you know, fixing in post-production rather than if you pay up front, get a great shooter, they're going to give you all the footage you need. Every single shot's going to work and makes your job a lot easier. And then therefore you have a great product that is going to elevate you as a brand and you'll start to increase your pricing from there. Just like it's a snowball effect.
Do you think like investing in this new developer and stuff, you now have a scalable business that could actually grow, which you wouldn't have had that growth if you stayed with that first developer and the first platform that you had?
Yeah, 100%. Being able to just go with this developer opens up a lot of doors of like all the possibilities, the things that you can build within the app. Whereas I think if we were back there, it would have just taken years and we would have been investing time and not making products really.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of the times, like I can't remember what the word, there's actually like a syndrome where I need to like Google this because I do talk about it a lot, but it's basically where you sink some money into something and then you get to a threshold where you've gone too far. And so instead of like pivoting and changing, you keep going down the same rabbit hole. It's kind of an analogy is like if you bought an old car, but then you had to change the engine, then do a new paint job and stuff. After a while, it gets to a point, it's like, it's it's not worth selling, and you kind of have to keep spending more and more money onto it, you know, instead of buying something new. So you kind of went to a point where you're like, I've spent some money, but then you were able to go like, let's pull up the handbrake. Let's actually cut the tires, lose what we have, build it again. And then from there, you're able to scale. And a lot of people will never get to that scaling point because they're hanging on to what they have. And they're so attached to the work they put in, the hours they put in, the money that they put in, that they won't let go and move forward.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was just another big risk, right? So like we sold our home, and the idea was, you know, the initial quote that we got was like about half as the amount of that we got for our home. And then it went past that as far as like all the development costs. And then you're at the point where you're like, okay, we got to switch and pivot again and build the whole thing over again. Now we're dipping into our savings. And so that was a moment in time where we're like, oh my gosh, like, do we want to build this thing? Cause like, we're already in it. We can't even really launch yet. Like, we did just launch, but there's hardly any people on the platform yet.
Yeah.
And it was just another gamble kind of moment where we're just like, now we're going for it.
How did everyone feel that were on the platform when you said, hey, we're actually like, you're learning the platform and everything, but we're actually about to launch a new one actually?
Yeah. Well, what we did, and I credit this to the developer, but I spent 4 months on both calls. So I would wake up at 5 a.m, keep building the original platform, making sure it's stable, all that stuff. And then
to sort of look after the people that are actually on your platform that are already paying and everything. So you didn't want to refund them, cut it off, and then start again. You kind of continued.
No, we continued, and we built the whole thing for 4 months without having to cut it off. And then at midnight one night, we just flipped the program around. So like all the people that were on the platform already, they're just like their email, their profile, everything, photos, video, everything just switched over to ours. Yeah. So like you would wake up in the morning and not even know.
So did it look different at all? Or did you announce that, you know, there's a new platform coming?
No.
So they just logged on and they were like, oh, it's just better.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah. Just better, a little bit faster, and maybe like slightly, like the buttons were a little bit different. Yeah. For the most part, it was an exact carbon copy.
Yeah. Right. And so from there, you got this new platform, and I'm guessing the new issue is you need to get the money back that you sunk into this platform. So how did you go about that?
Yeah, I think it's still something that's in the progress of like trying to figure out what the business model is going to be. Right now, like we have a subscription for a pro model for the users and for companies that are on there. Eventually, like I would love to make it that, but also like do some advertising and showcasing people's like retreats, workshops, events, conferences, kind of all that stuff. And have like a whole hub to where you have access to all these resources. And there'd be some type of like partnership there.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, we kind of foresee it just being like a marketplace for all of these wedding educators and workshops and things like that. And so there's no real like one place where you can go to like be able to easily have a meetup or a networking event. And that was like one thing that we all also like don't really have in the industry, and it's like a big pain point, is a lot of wedding videographers and photographers are kind of by themselves and don't even know where the network things are happening. And some people just like don't want to go to like a WIPA event or like these big showcasing events or night galas or whatever they might be. They just want to like grab a cocktail, grab a beer down the street. And so like we want to introduce meetups kind of like all around the world, and specifically if you are traveling. And you can see on our platform that there's a meetup happening in a different city and you're filming a wedding there. And you're like, oh, dude, I would love to just do a meetup with some videographers that are in that town and kind of build your network that way.
I think that's a great idea. You know, like even so whenever I go somewhere, like I was in Utah last month and I would just put a shout out on my Instagram, like who wants to meet up? And so like I'll find my small community, but it doesn't reach out past people that don't know who I am. So if someone's like, oh, I can see who's attending, and that's Jared, and I know Jared, so I'm going to go and see Jai and Jared. And like, I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So you could literally go into Second Society because it's all, you know, wedding creatives that are in there. Basically make your event within 2 minutes and then people will be able to RSVP to that. So you'll even know like how many people to expect. And then if it's like 40 people that signed up, you're like, all right, maybe we're not going to meet at this little coffee shop anymore. Totally. Or maybe we get together somewhere else. So
change it up.
Yeah.
So as the platform's evolving, and you're thinking about like bringing on different revenue streams or like different ways you can sort of monetize it. So you're brainstorming outside of that, but the core thing that you've got going on there, are you putting most and almost all your attention into that? Like, how do I get more people on there that's advertising for second photographers or videographers or searching for videographers and photographers?
Yeah. So that would be kind of like the biggest problem I think we're seeing right now is like, you kind of have to have this like equal balance. So you're always having to market towards companies, posting jobs and creating opportunities for these second shooters. And then also having enough second shooters in that area. And the way that we're building like our brand is really catered towards the higher end boutique companies. And so we're really not for, you know, the big wedding companies that are doing 1,000 weddings a year. This is like more of that, like social platform to where it's like, we're all kind of building our own wedding businesses together. Mm-hmm. And then whenever I have an opportunity or two, or maybe five, I'll throw them in the job opportunities and then get my friends and people that are kind of at the same level as me to like help me out, and I'll be able to help them out in return.
Yeah. Okay. So how are you trying to, like, that's really hard to do. How are you trying to market towards both of these people to get onto your platform? And how do you entice them into your platform to, so then they will continue to jump on every time they do have this problem?
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the ways we did it last year, and honestly, like we haven't even began doing ads yet. Like, we're going to be starting to do that soon here. But last year was all about just like the networking part. And so, you know, we were a part of your workshop, a conference that you did last year. We were part of a couple different podcasts that are kind of in the industry and did like a sponsorship through there. And so that was like a big selling point, because instead of doing ads where nobody really knows us, it was really helpful to kind of have other people talk about us.
Totally.
And so, you know what I mean? Like, hey, this is a new company. The product is great, but also Jimmy is a friend of ours and a good person. Yeah. And so you can trust this site. And there's just a different level of trust there that we would never be able to do ourselves through just ads. And it was also something that I didn't want to like just throw money at every single month, because I was throwing a lot of money at development.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So
basically step one was like extend your network out and meet all the players that you need to meet to sort of like just spread the word, talk to people, old school.
Yeah, that's all we did. Because that's my favorite thing to do, honestly. Like, I hate everything about ads.
Man, it's so like underrated. Like, literally, you know, I teach everyone in the business map all the time, like, go old school, man. Go knock on a door. Go talk to someone. Shake a hand. Like, you never know what the opportunity is going to be. And it's so cool to hear it, like you doing this as well. I don't know if you heard the girl that started Tinder, which she's not the like proper founder. Proper founder hired her to like sort of start Tinder, but the way that she started that, and then she started Bumble, sort of the same thing, but it was with flyers and then going to colleges in Utah and knocking on the dorms and saying like, hey, there's other people on this app, you know? And she knew that the way that it would spread, not from ads or anything else. So it sort of sounds like you're going the same approach. And it's funny because you look at all these big companies and they always start with the simple basic ways of launching something.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't really realize that.
It's a really good podcast episode where she's interviewed. I should find it and send it to you, but it's so inspiring when you hear it.
I'll have to check that out. Like, we studied a little bit of just the Uber model and then Airbnb's model of kind of like starting out local. And I think that could have worked, but it just wasn't the vision for what I had. Mm-hmm. I really see it way bigger than just starting in one city. And I think that would have helped a little bit as far as make LA and San Diego as big as possible and get as many photographers and videographers on there. And then, it's just constantly working. But for me, I really wanted to kind of just sell this vision of making it global and being able to like travel to any destination and meet a friend because they're on this platform. And so for us, it was just all about kind of spreading, well, at least across the country. And right now we have probably 200 people on the platform that are global.
Yeah. Awesome. So what's your vision for this thing as we're sort of wrapping up here? Like, you want everyone to get on this thing? Like, do you have numbers on like how big you want it? Do you want it in the, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions being able to use this thing?
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be so cool. I mean, we've just done some easy numbers already and just know that there's over hundreds of thousands of photographers and videographers that are available. We definitely, you know, have our brand and our culture in mind of like who we want on this platform. So it kind of negates a lot of like starting out people that are in the industry, and it kind of negates just the lower tier quality of wedding videographers and photographers. I really kind of want to keep it more high end, a little bit sophisticated, because we just found when you, again, like when we work with somebody who's experienced, you just have a better overall experience working with that person. And so we do want to vet every single person that comes on the platform and make sure they're kind of fitting the brand voice, if you will. But yeah, I totally see it being 50,000 to 100,000 people and making it available anywhere in the world. So if you have a destination wedding in Italy and you want to hire somebody that's local in Italy so you don't have to pay for their travel over there, you can find somebody.
To get there, do you have to hire a lot of people? Do you have to have new systems in place? Do you have to sort of ramp up marketing? Like, do you have a plan on like what you would have to do to be able to get service those numbers?
Yeah, I think it's more of like an idea board right now at this stage. And I would love to kind of like put that into a list of like, here are the steps, you know what I mean? And I really don't know those steps, but one of those things would definitely be building a team. That's like number one for me. Yeah. Is finding a partner that kind of wants to come alongside and help me build this thing together, specifically a photographer. Because I think me from the video background, I have like a limit of experience. Like I only know a lot of videographers and not a ton of photographers, but there's twice as many photographers, if not more, in the industry. So that's who we need to reach. So yeah, definitely building a team. And then again, like we're going to be turning towards advertising now that we have a lot of like reviews on the platform, that there's people already using it. We have, you know, contracts that are in place. People are winning in the platform already. So I think we can kind of move towards ads now.
Yeah, cool. That sounds exciting. Yeah. Do you have any last words for anybody that's out there that wants to start something of themselves, you know, like any kind of project, especially a project that's maybe not their main hustle. So something that's outside of them, they got an idea and they're thinking like, I'm not sure if I should go for it.
Yeah, I would definitely just say like, hey, if it fuels you or if you have passion for it, I would definitely try. You know what I mean? Absolutely go for it. Because I think on the other side of that, you're always going to, no matter what, you're going to build your character. You're always going to find new things that you're good at. You're going to learn new skills along the way, just out of need, out of necessity. And I feel like out of all of this, there's been a lot of stress, but my character has been built. My disciplines have changed. Things that I value and my priorities have all changed for the better. So I definitely suggest it.
So you're saying from all of this on the self-development side, you've become a better person or a better version of yourself?
100%. 100%. Like the capacity that I thought I had back then, I've just like gone five times more just out of necessity. Yeah. You have to, you know, and I'm a parent, I'm a husband. And so like your time is just like minimized every single stage of life a little bit more and more. And so you just realize that you have to like kind of push through and find new ways to optimize.
It's awesome. Thank you so much, Jimmy. Thanks for jumping on here. And for anyone that wants to go and check out your platform, where do we go?
Yeah, secondsociety.io. And it's really easy. You can create a free account today or you can sign up for a pro membership.
Epic. Thank you so much. And I'll link that down below in the show notes and your social media account and all that kind of stuff so people can reach out and say hello. But thank you for being on the show. And I hope someone out there listening right now is getting a little bit more courage towards launching the thing that's inside their head that they want to do, even if it's scary and even if you've got to sell your house.
Thank you so much.